Rudy had an equation for spiritual practice. Very simple. He said, effort over time. And he essentially said, with sufficient effort over sufficient time, there are results that occur. And I guess we all have a different sense of what those results might be. Each of us has different expectations, different way of grading the system. But one of the words Rudy used a lot was depth. Openness. Also, and I use a term quite a bit called authenticity. So, effort over time can mean going to the gym every day, an hour a day, or doing your workout every day, hour a day. 7 days a week, 5 days a week, every other day. It could be when you feel like it, maybe once a month, twice a month. A lot of variables in here. And everybody kind of knows where they fit in all of this. We're not too deluded really about who we are and where we stand. One of the incredible things about going to the gym or not going to the gym is the results are kind of obvious. You don't always see them directly, but you get a good sense when somebody's doing the work. Spiritual work, spiritual practice has a lot of sort of outside dressing. And so one can really kind of have a pretended spiritual life. You can have a presentation that is kind of passable. People will look at you and go, cool, that guy's cool, that guy's got it, that guy's in touch with something, that girl. But we all know inside, kind of, whether or not we are doing the work. And if anything truly knows if you're doing the work, it's that which observes the worker, that which is aware of you, the thing you cannot lie to, because it doesn't accept lies. It just knows. It just knows the truth. And what it's looking for isn't so much, are you a truth teller? What it's really looking for is, in my terminology, your authenticity. Do you practice, in a sense, what you preach? Are you showing up to this effort to open to, connect to, and be available to your most profound and deepest self? Now, Rudy said the effort for that is sitting still. He offered another step, which is a kind of transmissional state of energy or help that comes from looking into his eyes, both materially, physically, when he was present, and immaterially, just a photograph. Strangely enough, he would connect us, even years after his passing, to a direct connection to self. When a very strong bond is made with yourself, it really stops being fed by another person or a spiritual teacher or a teaching. Although they can spark it, they can animate it on some level, the real judge is, in a way, have you connected to your core strength, self, wisdom, honesty, being, authentic reality? And how strong is that connection? Is that an endurable, powerful, unshakable thing? Does it require constant effort? Every one of us has a different answer to that, I suppose. But my experience sitting with each of you is that there is a direct transmission of your truth and honesty. The thing that teaches through this being knows. It just looks. It just goes, ah. Getting this much work, great work. Profound, casual, occasional, not so much. It doesn't exactly judge it. It doesn't exactly form a critique, but it is aware. And it looks at you and it goes, It possibly does more than because it may be that our being born, being in this world, living this life, is actually about something. Maybe. And if it is about something, and we can all determine that on our own, what is it? I know when I teach and when I sit with myself, there is a kind of urge to bigger, more open, more connected, more available, authentic union with this ineffable, nameless love. One way to put it. And I watch when it goes to each of you or to anybody that I'm with, really. And I watch how it has avenues of entry and avenues of obstruction to overcome. I know when it looks at people who have opened the highway and it just floods in and it seems to like that. I look at people who are kind of there, but it has to kind of go through a dance that you want it to go through to arrive. And I look at people who are pretending. Or feeling better about themselves if they show up on occasion. And it knows that. It doesn't judge you, but it is unsatisfying. We went to dinner the other night with these people we know, and it's almost always the same thing. They are, I wouldn't say profoundly inauthentic, but unbearably shallow in their understanding of and experience of the world, certainly not aware on any level of what you would call the immaterial or the spiritual, just not part of their consciousness. And sitting across the table, dialoguing with people like that feels hard. It's kind of empty. It's kind of sad. It's kind of make work. And even when you make work and you enter, which I do as a practice, and you can feel sparks of connectivity from them and being with their being with something higher, you just know that this is a lifetime of missing out. They are not going to get it. And as much as you try, they will grow, perhaps, if you want to deal with millimeters or inches, about this much in a lifetime. No judgment. We have eternity on our side. But when one sits with a person who is volumetrically open to receive and to share and to connect and to offer and to be present with this amazement of being. You know it. You just know it. And what happens in that state is so beautiful, so essential, so core enlivening that you don't want to leave that space. All you want to do is go, yes, yes, or thank you, or whatever that may be. I had that with Rudy all the time. I mean, Rudy had so much volumetric availability that he would look at me and I would go and fall on the floor. I literally fall on the floor. How many people do you know where that happens? Others are different. I'm definitely not that teacher. I am soft and gentle as a teacher. But I see what Rudy saw. I feel what Rudy felt. I know when there are people who are grateful and taking it in, and there are people who are posing, and there are people who are occasionally there for something that makes them feel better. Whatever that is, I don't love anyone less or more in that regard, but I just feel potential. Each of our journeys is so massive, and not only is it possible, it's wanted. There is something really, really vast, really vast, that manufactured or manifested or in some ways created us, and not for no purpose. Not for no purpose. A lot has gone into our existence, a lot. I know it's not a perfect existence, although I can't exactly say that. I say it's not perfect because it causes struggles and difficulties and anxieties and sadness and grief and all of that. So I go, that's not perfect. When I look at it from a much larger perspective, none of that matters. That's all part of the whole. It's part of the instruction. Instruction for what? How to become authentically you. Fully available you in humble and real and profoundly giving terms. You find a self that walks around and goes, thank you, thank you. It's not big, it's not an announcement like, yeah, thank you, I'm so grateful. It doesn't, nothing like that. It's just like, and you will say thank you, even in the midst of awful stuff going on. And then you kind of understand that if the awful stuff didn't go on, that thank you might not find its full resonance. It might be too easy, too untested, if you will. I don't know this for a fact. It's just an assumption. But I do feel when I see people working through the hard part of this ride, when they seem to transcend the struggle or go deeper into it or work in spite of it, and they keep maintaining a kind of availability, authenticity, a kind of goodness and kindness in the world, I melt in joy at their presence. Even people just trying, authentically trying to do it, opens my heart so deeply. And I know it isn't exactly Bruce's heart. It comes through this body, but it has over 50 years of time evolved into something that is really rather impersonal, but it is very connected. And it honors your journey. It honors your journey when it's successful. It honors your journey when you get off and go into all the wrong directions. Part of the reason it allows for wrong directions is because it knows it has, I suppose, timeless, endless, infinite possibility of making correction, getting you where you need to be. Or maybe it isn't even personal. It just goes, oh, well, this person tried, didn't do it. It's gone. It probably doesn't matter which version of it goes on, because at some finite point, we go, gone, done. Whether something continues or not, we have a lot of investment in that idea. But we who invest in that idea will be gone. The idea may still be there. The background noise, the fulfillment of being, the totality of existence may very well and probably is still there. But our little molecular hold on that will more than likely disappear, either instantly or through a bardo journey of some kind, but ultimately gone. So here we are on the ride in this lifetime, trying to become our authentic selves, trying to be good people, trying to connect to a divine source, if you will, and allowing that to express itself in our day-to-day, moment-to-moment being. The achievement of that is really simple. So I'm going to go into a personal story for a moment. This is a bit of a dramatic story, but not. Last night, my son Josh called me and said, I have COVID. Then he said, and my son Eli has COVID. And they are both sick. Joshua has had it for over a week or so, and maybe no longer going to be able to spread it. But Eli is just a few days into it. And we had these enormous Thanksgiving plans to invite the whole family here. For us, that was about 16 people for Thanksgiving dinner in five days. And everything went like that. I cannot invite anybody here if there's potential COVID in the house. They can't come, that's for sure. And so Blanche and I said, tomorrow morning, we will get up really early and we will go to this place and get tested. It's a big effort to go and to get there and to have a place available, but it was very calm. We said we would go in separate cars because I knew I had to come back and teach class and would have to do that. There was a certain amount of, why is this happening to us? I got to let the family know. There are a lot of people coming on that during that week. And it was like total disruption. You know, the idea of telling God your plans, you know, nothing was working. Everything was suddenly being shattered. And I imagined that I would be upset by all this. And I was very surprised. But I was not upset. But Blanche was not upset. That there was just simply stuff to do in response to the fact. And that response was not being fueled by the insanity of a mind that's in the levels of drama that life can bring us, and why me, God, and all of that. It was just like, here you go. This is a fact. We woke up earlier than we normally do. At breakfast, I drove out first. Joshua was there as well with his son getting a test at the lab. His wife and his daughter were getting tested. Being together with them in the parking lot was pure joy. Pure joy. Hugging. Knowing what was going on. We told my son Ari, who was flying in for Thanksgiving, he was so compassionate and unexpectedly loving about what was happening. I went in. I was the first one. I got kind of my nasal test. Came out. And I had my phone. And I decided to just go for a walk. And I just started taking pictures. And one thing after another arrived for photographing. I mean, beautiful, beautiful stuff. And it was just like right there. I would never have found it at all if I hadn't been there to get the COVID test and all of us to figure out what we're going to do. And it turned out to be this incredibly beautiful morning. And then Blanche and I had enough time to go shopping for Thanksgiving that may not happen. So we went shopping and we just did everything. And we came home and I had time to grab a very quick lunch and come up here and teach this class. And I watched how it unfolded and I realized 50 years of meditating and sitting and being part of this expresses itself in the simplicity of arriving at whatever happens with a kind of balance, a kind of yes, a kind of harmonic. And you go, okay. And then you watch it unfold and you have these beautiful moments. I had these great moments with my grandchildren, with my son, and with Evan, and with Blanche, and even the people in the hospital or the office were exquisitely lovely and kind. And I got to take pictures and walk, and everything was amazing, even though our entire next week is probably completely up in the air on every level. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. I would love having family here. I would love having everybody here. I hate disrupting lives. Joshua got caught up in disrupting a lot of lives by not knowing he had COVID at first and being present. Elijah's school has had to close because he had COVID. So they're not opening this week at all. This is how this plays out in the world. Everyone is going to relate to that differently. Some of the kids in school are going to be furious. Talia actually started crying because she was doing a big presentation. We all live with different realities. And yet, if you can sit and over time open to the what is of life and allow it to come in, it brings exquisite experiential reality. Today was a beautiful day. And when I came and sat down to be with you guys, which is just like part of a larger unfolding, it was nothing but, and is to this moment, nothing but flow, gratitude, and love. I love that you arrived. I love that I made it here myself. Who knew? It's all, you never know. But moment to moment, a spiritual life is not grandiose. It's not walking around being better than or, you know, wiser than or any. It's just being you in the moment. And the moment will fulfill itself over and over and over and over until you're gone. You know, I have this pain in my arm. It hurt for the entire class. And I went, you know, you can't stop teaching because you have pain. And if anything, it made it go deeper because I just couldn't pay attention to that. It's there, and many of us have pain. And I started getting phone calls from people in the last week that are, it's really, really hard, things that people are going through right now. And then, you know, open your eyes even a little wider and what the world is going through right now. And yes, it's all there. It's all there. It's all, you know, beautiful and wonderful and horrific and difficult simultaneously. And your statement of being in the center of everything, just looking at it and being available, is an amazing reality. And that's what our spiritual life does. It brings us into that simple state, and we go, or aso, or oh well. And we live the life we're given. And moment to moment, with all the disruption and all the chaos and all the stuff that goes on, first of all, what are you going to do? Second of all, it's okay. It's mostly okay. There are moments where it's not. There are moments where struggle and pain and suffering are really great. But I can only tell you, the minute I sat down to work with you and to be with you, all that other stuff didn't matter. Nothing mattered except being with you. And the flow that I have witnessed and experienced for 50 plus years that comes through in that exchange and that connection with other and with self is so potent and so powerful that it's worth going to the gym every day. It's worth working out every day. It's worth committing to the practice. It's worth seeing the practice over time and with increasing depth. It has value. And if you can find that in yourself, the universe, whatever this thing is, will witness it, and I will tell you, it will appreciate it. I do not understand the how or the why of its appreciation, but it appreciates what you bring to the table. It really appreciates it. In a way, it's like you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for all there is. And that's the journey we're on. And, you know, the only wisdom I can bring you at all is I see you and I love you. I know some of you are working your ass off and some of you are very occasional and some of you are a mixed bag of things. I don't care. For your own sake, I would love you to be able to commit more deeply to the present tense, to the ride, to being, to authentically being you, to the love and the struggle and the difficulty and the hope, and yet showing up over and over and over, because I know it's appreciated. And it's appreciated in ways that you and I cannot comprehend. But there is something so vast that loves it, loves it. It loves our journey. It witnesses our journey. It perhaps learns from our journey, whatever it may be. So give it what it wants. What does it want? It wants you to be authentic. It wants you to be real. It wants you to be good and kind, I think, and loving and available. So here we are. I can only tell you, whatever happens, you know, COVID, missing Thanksgiving, having to disrupt other people's lives for the sake of what's just taken place. Yes, the world is sloppy like that. It's complicated like that. But that's what it is. And if you find your way to the center of that and you go, I will be done, you have found your real self. You have found your authentic space. And it's a beautiful thing to find on a regular basis, really through practice, through effort. You will get to this place where whatever you're doing, whatever's going on, it will go, okay, stop, be quiet, shut up, get quiet, go deep, and feel my presence. Feel the presence. And it works. It works. It takes over. It is sublime. I did not expect standing outside on a cold, wintry day with my grandchildren, you know, to happen this morning. I did not expect that. I did not expect to find so many beautiful photographs to take. I did not expect the warmth and the love of my family out in a parking lot. But there it was. And all I can say is I am endlessly, infinitely grateful for that. And I am endlessly, infinitely grateful for all of you to have been part of this very strange but wonderful day. So thank you for coming. You know, a lot of talk. If anybody has questions about any of this, I am really happy to address them. Wendy.
Thank you for that, Bruce. That was the exact inner question I had for myself, this meditation of when my mind, let's say, pops out of my one point and I lose that focus, you know, how do I really understand if, have the awareness if I'm going deeper, if I'm just surfacey or somewhere in between? And so that, and what, almost what can I do about it without being in my head? But that was literally the question that came up. So when you spoke about it to me, that really resonated deeply. How can I self-assess in that way to know?
I would even offer not to assess at all. Just stop and look. Don't judge it. Because we all mess up. We all go to these, you know, odd places. And then you just go, this is a real thing. I mean, to lose oneself, to get lost, is a major part of the spiritual adventure, as is being found. And if you get lost and you don't start crying, where's my mommy? Where's this? And what am I supposed to do? And oh my God, and go through all that. But you go, I am really lost. What do I do? You get past the panic, past the fear, past the confusion. You just get quiet and you see what is given, how you are guided into the next step. Most people don't find themselves out of being lost through panic and hysteria. If anything, what's wanted at that point is still pointedness and some emerging clarity. Even if it doesn't know where to go, it says, put your foot here and put your foot here and begin this journey. That's, you know, if you can trust at all, trust the universe, hopefully it will get you where you need to go. Now, it may not get you back to where you want to go. It might even lead you over a cliff. I don't really know. But it will be you and it together wherever you're supposed to journey. And finding your way to that spot, finding your way out of being lost by opening to being found and letting this thing arise inside you, because it's never really not there. The only difference between it coming up automatically and having to give it the opportunity to rise, that's kind of up to you. That's your saying, I got to do this. I can't move around with my mind leading the show here. Rudy said very clearly, the mind is the slayer of the soul. But most of our minds are so tight, so closed, so limited by egoistic thinking that they don't guide us well. But if you can open, third eye, open, quiet, get simple, this thing starts to arise, and it arises not usually as thought, but as experience and feeling. And usually it's like, you can give it a name like well-being or centeredness or something like that, but this thing just starts to come and it will help guide you. If you don't trust it, then the ego takes over again and the ego goes through its noise and then you get lost again. And people do that all the time, most of the time. Learning over time, practice over time, allows you to go, oh, I need to have this. I need this help. And then it arrives. And when it arrives, the incredible thing is knowing. If it doesn't arrive at all, I will tell you the reason. Because it wants you to figure it out on your own. And I have had that many, many times where it simply doesn't come. And it's basically saying, you're a grown-up. You've been in this world for 78 years. Figure it out. And it can be really dramatic like that. And then I go, okay. And when I start to move and I start to figure it out, there's a kind of, yes, 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 nope, yes. It's very subtle, but it is there. And if you don't trust that thing, yeah, there are people who live lost, who live lives completely lost, have no clue to the path background. And I know many of them. I had dinner with some the other night. And their thinking of getting found is going on a trip somewhere. You know, we'll get quiet again. We'll separate from all the noise. We'll just be on our cruise or something. You know, okay. But the external world does not ultimately offer the solution. The external world just does what it does. You know, it's deep. The practice goes deep. It finds this thing that knows. That's what we need to look for.
Thank you, Bruce. So just to follow that, so this lost and found process, have you recognized, since you've been doing it so long, that you are in the found where you don't really get lost at this point, or it's just...
No, I get lost. I really get lost. I was taking a walk yesterday. The sun went down, the winds were coming up, I was freezing. I said, why am I here? What am I doing? I don't know what's going on. Why did I even go on this walk? I mean, it was really major lost in a certain sense, and physical, because it was uncomfortable on so many levels. And I thought walking would help my shoulder. It made it worse. Everything was uncomfortable and not fun. And I just felt, what have I done? Why is this going on? But the only thing I knew was keep going. And then there was a moment where I could turn to go back to my house, and something said, nope, walk a little further. And I went, okay. And I did, and that changed the equation. I walked further than my comfort zone. I broke through the thing that was, if you will, lost. And I found a voice that made me remember that the real effort is more than you want to put up. And that's how you do it. It's for me in that moment. And it's always a little different, you know, but if you think you have the answer to free you of all of life's troubles and to keep you endlessly found, I mean, and there are people I think who preach that. I'm just not that person. And therefore, you know, I behoove all of you, go find that person if you want to. But in the end, you need to become that person, not just sit at their feet. And if you sit at their feet, maybe that'll work. I don't know. I really don't know. But, you know, I don't think Rudy felt he was completely found. He was working all the time. He was working and working hard. And I have found in my life, I've had to work hard. And like I say, go an extra step or an extra mile, because that tends to be exactly what's wanted and needed in the equation.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was well said.
Anybody else? I'm all bored to death. George.
Just a question of self-interest. Did you test positive for the COVID?
We're not going to know for 2 days.
Oh, okay.
So we have to live with that. I Blanche has been coughing all week, so we don't know what's going on. I think I'm probably okay. We're living in this time and age of stuff like that's happening, and we don't know. But I do know that I don't want to hurt anybody. I certainly will share the whatever's happening with everybody, and we'll go from there. But you know, this is the world is so chaotic right now and so full of stuff that you can't find a pure, simple path. Except for attitudinally, you know, feeling your way through the craziness with as much simple alignment. Pardon?
So I understand. It's okay.
Great. Anybody else? Okay.
Oops. I'd just like to say, Bruce, thank you so much for all that you do, you and Blanche, and happy Thanksgiving no matter what happens. And I'm so incredibly grateful for all of you. Thank you.
Wait, thank you. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope we all have Thanksgiving. But I will tell you, we all have a lot to be thankful for, one way or the other, whether it's turkey or no turkey. We got a lot to be thankful for. Really love you guys, and see you in a couple of weeks.